Again, we have the privilege today of hearing from Joel and Stephanie Midtoom, who in the last several years of their lives have dedicated themselves to both bringing healing to severely broken young ladies in tragedy that should never happen in our world, but sadly happens a great deal of the time. But in that process, they've seen the healing power of God at work in and through the system, the structure, the people that they've gathered together to create a healing environment for these young ladies. And so we will hear the good news of that gospel. We're going to start with a little bit of a video, and then Joel will come up and pray with you and preach.
Good morning, everybody. Great to see you again. I think we were here a couple years ago, and it's always great to come back to this church, and we love Jim and Marilyn, getting to know them a little bit better. And if you didn't know, I'm African, just like Marilyn. We both grew up in Madagascar, and so that's part of our connection, and I've gotten to know Jim a lot more, too, in the last few years. I went from the tropical water of Madagascar to Minnesota for high school, and then when I was 18, I went straight to California, met my wife at Bible College, and then we worked at a church in Sacramento in Elk Grove, where Dan Selbo had been there before. I didn't really replace him, but I did come on as a third pastor at a church called St. Peter's Lutheran. And then we planted a church in 1999 out of that church, and we were there 18 years. It's still going. And God called us 7 years ago to move to Tanzania, which is where we live now. Courage Worldwide, simply, the main thing we do is to create safe houses for minor victims of human sex trafficking. So these are young girls that come to us, and God brings them to us one at a time. As you saw in the video, it's a beautiful place. Moshi is where Mount Kilimanjaro is. And if any of you wanted to climb Kilimanjaro, it's really high. That's all I can say. I haven't been to the top, but I've climbed on it. Also, Tanzania is the home to Serengeti, if you want to go on the world's greatest safaris. And also, God called us 2 years ago to move to Dar es Salaam, which is a big city of 6 million, and it's on the coast by the ocean, and it's very near to Zanzibar. So that's another place maybe you've heard of. And there at both cities, we have safe houses. We have the cafe, and Jim and Marilyn came and enjoyed the cafe and the lattes and everything like that. And God's doing things he's grown so much in Tanzania, but he's also doing some things here in the U.S. And in Reno, we have plans to open a safe house in 2025. So that's already going, and please pray with us about that. For the scripture this morning, I just wanted to share from you 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and focus on verse 20. And it says, "You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." And I've read that verse many times, but I had never read it from the perspective of human trafficking and thinking about how people can be bought and sold, and how people have been bought and sold throughout human history. The Passion Translation, it says it this way: "You were God's expensive purchase, paid for with tears of blood. So by all means, use your body to bring glory to God." And I love that way it says that, because that's what we get to see every day in Tanzania. Girls brought from death to life, and from darkness to light, and from captivity to freedom. You were bought. We all know the deeper meaning of this verse, and the first meaning of this verse is that we were all bought. As our scripture said, we're slaves to sin, and we were bought by Jesus Christ to belong to him and to be part of a new family. And as I thought about human history and this idea of people actually being bought and sold, it's a very dark mark in our own country and all around the world, especially in East Africa. And even today, there's a little bit of that, and it's called the bride price. So if I were to marry my wife, I would be negotiating with my future father-in-law on, you know, should I pay 5 cows, 10, you know, for my wife, at least 15. You know, she's very beautiful. And my father-in-law, it didn't cost me anything. And the main cost came after we got married. And that's when, and I'll stop there. And that's funny, but the topic I'm talking about this morning is so dark and so sad. And thinking about slavery, thinking about the fact of people wanting to own other people. And this has been, to own another person who has no rights to themselves, and they have no way to free themselves. And this is such a dark part as I was thinking about history. But as I was thinking about history, I also noticed some beams of light through Christians and through the church. And there were people and movements that sought to be their purpose to free a slave, to redeem a slave, and to use whatever power or influence they had, or whatever finances they had, or maybe through prayer, but they did something to not buy a person to belong to them, but to buy a person's freedom. Does that make sense? To pay the price so that that other person could be free. And we call that redeeming slaves, to use your own resources to purchase the freedom for a person caught in slavery. Today, human trafficking is modern-day slavery. Do you know that there are more slaves alive today than in the rest of history combined? Where do we go from there? Well, you were bought, but it was also, you were bought with a price. We have to start with Jesus, that he bought us with his precious blood. And we're going to celebrate that this morning through communion. We're going to remember that. We're going to experience that. And through Jesus' blood, we're free from sin, death, and the devil. And Jesus died for us. In human history, sometimes we see one human may die to save the lives of others. Maybe a first responder, maybe a soldier who gave their life so that others might live. But most of us are not called to do that. But we're all called to die. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, pick up your cross and die to yourself. And what is that verse that many of us are so familiar with, Romans 12, verse 1? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, thinking about how much God has freed us, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So we're not called to die, but we are called to be living sacrifices. I want to give you just one example this morning. There was a guy named Dr. David Livingston. I presume you've heard of him. He was lived in the 1800s. He was British, or he was actually Scottish. He was a missionary. He was a doctor. He was an explorer. And he was the first recorded man to cross, literally walk across Africa. During a time where going to Africa for Americans and Europeans was like going to the moon. Nobody knew anything about it. Nobody knew about the interior. Everybody thought it was super dangerous, and nobody even ever went there. And he was called there, and he had four major journeys of two or more plus years. And he came to share Jesus, and he came to be a doctor and to help sick people. But what happened was he kept seeing groups of slaves being brought, and he kept seeing groups of slaves being brought. And they would be brought from as far as the Congo, and they had to walk all the way to the coast of Tanzania, more than 2,000 miles, in chains. And you know that only one out of five of those slaves even survived to make it to the coast of Tanzania, where they went to Zanzibar and they were sold. And he was so appalled by slavery that he said, I cannot do nothing. I can't just go about my business of the church. I can't just go about my business of the medical field. I've got to do something about this. This is what God is caring about, and this is heavy on my heart. And so he spent his whole life fighting against slavery. Do you know that he was, in his journeys, he was attacked by a lion very early on. A lion bit him in the shoulder, and he had a kind of a useless arm for the rest of his career. By the way, when we go on safari, we're in cars, so don't worry. And he wanted to find the source of the Nile. He wanted to use his fame, and he wrote a lot of books, and he wanted to influence the world to make slavery against the law in East Africa. We got the opportunity to go see a museum of slavery. And where we live now in Dar es Salaam, it's only 1 hour north of us, is called Bagamoyo. And it is a city that is where all the slaves were brought to. It's the city where David Livingston came through. And Bagamoyo means, in Swahili, Here I Lay Down My Heart. It was named by the slaves because when they saw the coast, they knew it was the end. They knew they would never see their family. They would never see their home again. And we were able to bring some of our girls from Dar es Salaam to this. You can see them kind of learning about slavery in their own country. And here there's girls that are coming out of slavery in their own life. Here is a lady named Maria. She's the last known slave that was freed in East Africa, or she was born a slave. She was freed by Catholic missionaries who literally were called the Holy Ghost Fathers. I'm telling you the truth. And she died in 1974. So imagine, that's not that long ago. Some of us remember 1974. This next slide is it's a freedom certificate. And here from the German East Africa, this person's name was given their freedom in 1910. Somebody did something to free this slave. I don't know if they gave money or if they influenced somebody, but they arranged for this person to be free. That's what I want you to understand. David Livingston himself redeemed over 700 slaves. And when he died, they had a funeral for him in this church, and all 700 came. And one of the things that happened was through his life and writings, it helped to bring an end to legal slavery in Africa. One life can make a difference. Now, the sad thing is that illegal slavery still happens. Human trafficking does still happen. Scripture tells us to honor God with your body. That means everything you have, right? Your mind, your spirit, your resources, your time. That means also that God can change anyone, no matter your background, no matter the background of our girls. It means that God calls us to holiness. That's not perfection, but it's connection with God. And it's to live differently. And God calls us not only to be holy, which kind of sounds like a scary word, but holy just means to be more like Jesus. That doesn't sound so bad. And he calls us to wholeness. He wants us to be free spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. And he wants to give us a new purpose. And this is what we get to experience with our girls in Tanzania. I found some old coins. I found an old guy in Bagamoyo, and he was selling some old coins. And I said, well, I got to buy a couple of old shillings, because the older you get as a guy, you get into old stuff. You get into history. You start watching World War II documentaries and things like that. And so I bought these two shillings. One's from British East Africa. One's from German East Africa. So British was Kenya. Tanzania was German. And I was thinking one day, what were these shillings used for? Maybe somebody used these to buy themselves some food or some food for their family. Maybe these shillings back in the 1800s, maybe somebody used these to buy a slave. But just maybe, somebody used these shillings to free a slave. Maybe they used coins like this to arrange for somebody else's freedom. As I said, human trafficking is modern-day slavery, and the U.S. State Department estimates today there's 27.6 million victims worldwide. That's overwhelming. How are we going to help that many? Well, how we're going to do it is one at a time. And that's one of the mottos of Courage that we love so much, to change the world one life at a time. Even today, we can buy somebody's freedom with our sacrifice, our prayers, and even our shillings. This next slide is a short video of some of our staff and girls. We went into this church that I showed you where David Livingston was and all these 700 former slaves, and they broke out into this song called Una Weza. It means, Lord, you are able.
Able. My name's Stephanie. I'm Joel's wife, and it's great to be back here again. Sometimes this issue is so overwhelming. I think you all hear it on the news. You hear human trafficking's happening here in California. It's happening in the U.S. It's happening around the world, and it can be so overwhelming to know what to do with this growing crime. There's such needs at all levels, and we're talking about human beings being sold. The girls we work with are children. They're under 18 years old, some as young as 6 years old. And Joel and I have personally known almost 200 of them in Tanzania and in California when Courage had a safe house for 5 years here in California. We prayed for them, we baptized them, children that have often been sold by family members, by their own parents. And even in here in California, a juvenile court judge told us, every day in their courtroom, they have children, young people being sold by their families. And there's many, many reasons. It's a complex issue. It's greed, it's demand, it's evil, it's poverty in Tanzania. Very poor country. Children are trying to survive. Families are trying to survive, and they end up on the streets and being exploited for profit, sometimes many times a night. And the human trafficking kind of glosses over the world. We're talking about children being bought and sold, raped, tortured, and have so much trauma. And that's why they need a safe place. They need a place of hope. They're introduced to Jesus. Many of them become Christians and are baptized. They're introduced to trauma therapy. They're introduced to their dreams. What can you be? Some of the girls didn't even know they could finish school. They come not even able to read or write in their own language. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories, and I love seeing the life change. Pastor Jim alluded to, he came in and saw girls that were younger, first came to Courage, and they don't have the confidence, and they're shy. And then you see as time goes on, this confidence and the brightness and the joy, and we get to witness that up close and personal, and that's what keeps us going, that there is hope for change. This first girl, you see, she's pregnant, and she's married now, and this is her second baby, and she came to us when Joel and I first came 7 years ago, and she was a young teenager. She had a lot of anger. She had been abused at home. She was on the streets. She had suffered a lot for a few years, and our staff were afraid of her because she had so much anger. And she struggled in school. She probably has dyslexia. She just failed in school. And that's a culture of shame, that if you fail school and you're not successful, it just compounds the shame. But she had some dreams. She wanted to be an entrepreneur. And while she couldn't read or write very well, she started making some jewelry. In fact, we're selling some of the jewelry. She started having dreams to sew, and some of the kimonos and things we sell out there are made by her and other girls and our staff. and she worked hard. And when we opened our Courage Cafe, she was on her own and 18, 19 years old, and we employed her. She got married. She became a barista. Tanzania, Jim said, we have some of the best coffee in the world, and we have some at our table out there. But Bella became a barista and learned to make latte art. She looked up on YouTube, and she entered a contest and was one of the top people in this latte art contest in Moshi. And one day she came to us, she's like, I'm going to resign because I think I can make more money doing business. And I was shocked because she was paid well, and it's hard to find jobs and make a living in Tanzania. But she started raising chickens and started working hard, and she now to this day is selling 400 chickens a month. We at Courage Cafe buy her chickens. She sells vegetables. She buys a little taxi thing. She actually is able to buy a car, she and her husband. She has two babies. She's doing this with young paid babies now. And she is such an example to our girls. Many of them don't do well academically. Many do. But for those that struggle, they look like, if she can do it, I can do it. And she's mentoring some of those girls and encouraging them. And she's now considered a wealthy woman in Tanzania. Here's a girl that struggles to read and write, and she found a way and had a lot of love and support and worked very hard to do that. The next girl came to us. We just opened our third center in Tanzania a year ago, May, in Dar es Salaam at the coast. And this young girl, in fact, most of the girls in Dar that have come to us have been pregnant. She was 6 or 7 months pregnant. She's very tiny, 16 years old, but she looks like she's about 13. Well, as often, this sometimes trafficking is generational. A mother could be in prostitution and now exploiting and selling her daughter, and this was the case with Leah. And Leah's mother was very abusive to her as well. And when Leah was 6 months pregnant, the mother was assaulting her and trying to abort her baby. The neighbors heard the screams. People intervened, and she was rescued and brought to Courage House. She had scars and swollen marks on her body when she came, no confidence. We weren't sure that the baby was okay, but we got her medical care, good nutrition, lots of love and prayer. She had a healthy baby girl a few months ago, and the baby's name is Gladness. And Leah has a dream to be a social worker and help others. Lastly, I'll tell you about a couple of sisters that have come to us. The taller one came to us when she was 12. Again, her mother exploiting her, and she was dedicated to a witch doctor for evil and to be the one. They believe there's power with witch doctors, and she was dedicated to be the one to make money. And so the mother exploited her. She came to us. She was rescued when she was 12. There's a lot of ups and downs and battles in her life. And our staff just continued to love her, pray for her. And then she said, please rescue my sister. So her sisters were 9 and 11. And they came home to Courage House. And now they have a childhood and dreams. The oldest sister is now in college studying to be a social worker. And lastly, the two ones that are there are 6 and 8 years old. Our youngest child at Courage House was 6 years old. And that's a horrific reality about what's happening to young children. But we love when they're brought to us younger, because then they're safer. The trauma stops. And we see restoration happening quicker. And these two girls, their parents were addicts, alcoholics, and extremely poor. The girls have some mental health issues, but we see a lot of joy and just that feeling of being safe and loved now restored. So we're just excited for what God's doing, bringing children home. We're long term. Some girls are with us 3, 4, 5, 6 years because, like our own kids, they need that help into young adulthood till they can stand on their own. We have many on their own. I just found out this week 5 of our girls graduating from a college that they're studying early childhood education all got jobs this week, at a place they can be caregivers. And so we help them until they can stand on their own. And so that's the exciting thing. There is hope. I want to, this song that we sang earlier, Una Huesa, I want to teach it to you. So you can leave here today knowing a little bit of Swahili. Una Huesa Buana. Can you say that? Una Huesa Buana. Way way. Nimungu way two. Just like it's spelled. Way way nimungu way two means you are our God. Nimungu unaweza means you, God, are able. And then you are able. So I know this is a heavy topic today, and God calls all of us to do something, to do our part, but really it's He is able to do that through us. And so I would like you to sing this song and then one other one with me to close this time together. About this song, it was written by John Newton, and he was a former slave owner in the UK, and he became an abolitionist and wrote this song, Amazing Grace. There's a great movie called Amazing Grace that tells the story of this song. So I want us to close our time with singing Amazing Grace.
Was blind, but now I see.
pray together. God, we thank you for loving us, coming to die for us, paying the price. And we know that you care about these girls even more than we do. And would you show each of us what you're calling us to do? What you're showing us to do. We want to go where you're leading us. We want to say yes to what you're doing and where you're calling us. And we thank you for doing this work, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as Stephanie said, it's a heavy topic, and but we get to see the joy, and we get to see the changed lives. And if you want to partner with us in that, we do have these green handouts. You can grab one at the back or pick one up from Chris, who is here. She's our director of partnerships, and this just gives ways. If some of you feel extra tug, say, "Hey, I really want to partner with what Courage is doing," to use your time or your talent or your treasure, and she can give be in touch with you. You can get on our e-news, get monthly updates and things like that. So, thank you so much again for having us here. God bless you all.